You're listening to a Christian Aid podcast.
For Aquachiche. I sit on a bed in a cool round house in northern South Sudan. It is a scorching day outside, reaching well above 40 degrees centigrade, and the sweat from standing in the sun too long is still trickling down my back. It is our last day in Apada, a camp which houses over 40,000 South Sudanese people who have returned to South Sudan post-independence in 2011. There is much jubilation outside. A cow has been slaughtered and rice shared with 100 people to thank members of the community in Apada for helping us to gather and tell their stories. These are stories of terror, hardship, grief and hope. A nation which has been pulled apart by civil war and the amazing endurance of its people to continually rebuild their lives despite the atrocities that they have faced in the newest nation in the world. In this room, quiet by comparison, I sit with John Gang Amott, a member of Hope Agency for Relief and Development, the Christian Aid partner whose emergency housing programme we have been visiting in Apada. John is our translator for the trip, switching easily between Arabic, Luwak and English. He is generous and kind and works tirelessly to ensure that we gather stories accurately, despite at times being clearly pained by the violence people have faced. It comes as a shock to learn that this gentle, joking young man has too experienced the cruelty of war firsthand. As he says simply, "I have seen war." John is a lost boy, a generation of children taken from their homes to be child soldiers during the civil war which raged from 1983 to 2005 between the Sudanese government and the Southern Sudan Army, the SPLA, the Sudanese People's Liberation Army. John was taken from his home when he was just 12. In this small room, he tells me of his lost childhood, forced to march for 6 months across desert land to Ethiopia, walking in the footsteps of other children who died along the way and seeing their skeletons in the sand, enduring the hardships of training camps in Ethiopia and the inhumane behaviour of soldiers. Finally, he explains the hardships of growing up away from his family in Kakuma, a refugee camp in Kenya. Like so many others, for John, his life as a child was not lived, but survived, with only faith to keep him alive. Thankfully, John is now reunited with his family. He lives with his mother, he is married and has children. John, like many, could have sought asylum overseas, but instead he was driven to return to his homeland to find his family and to help his people. I would like to personally thank John for telling me his story. At Christian Aid, we are so lucky to be working with people like John and their incredible drive to rebuild South Sudan. Here is John in his own words.
They come at midnight. When they come at midnight now, they come and knock the door. They call out your father. They say, yes, this is the list of your son already with us. We need your son. And then the father releases you to them immediately. And then you go. By then I was really very young. I really scared, and even I was thinking that they are going to kill me. But after we reached the destination, they told us, now we are not going to kill you. We are the SPLA. We are rebelling against the government, and we are here to take you to Ethiopia. And when we reach there, we are going to screen all of you. There are some who will go to school, and there are some who are going to be recruited. It took us 6 months from northern Barkazal to Ethiopia, to a place called Itang. There, even on the way, most of people die of hunger, most of people died of thirsty, and some of people were killed by lion, and some of them were killed by hyena. So it was really difficult and very hard. Even most of people, even when they see your colleague has died and has been killed by animal, and you face some hunger on the way, most used to escape and come back to their home. It is really a very big challenge for us. And by then, we have never experienced such a condition, because you have been just taken from your mother. You eat well, you drink well, you sleep in a very good place. And suddenly, then, you spend 7 days without food, 2 days without water. At the same time, your colleague falls sick, and then he can die immediately because there is no drugs. So you can just see the skull, and you can see some vultures coming to eat the dead body. So you cannot bury them because we don't have tools to bury. So when it died, then you just leave it there and then you go. And the vultures come and eat the skin, and some wild animal like hyena come and eat the dead bodies. So their skull, you just see them like that and then you spill its skull. It is really very difficult to explain. At night, this is the time we used to move a lot because at night it is cool. People can move very far distance because in daytime, sun is very hot and you feel very thirsty. And even though you have some water you have in the container or a jerrycan, they become hot. You cannot drink it. And there is not even a shade of a tree whereby you can go and shelter. So you just move. If you feel tired, you just sit in the sun. So this is the life that I've never experienced. Actually, when we were in Ethiopia, the life is really very hard because we are relying on relief food. Life is difficult because you do a lot of work. People, users who are in the camp also, they come and collect us from the center where we are. We go and walk them and walk in their house. Maybe you go and dig latrine for them. They are using you like nothing, and they don't give you food. And there is a military language which they say, if you are given a job, you have to complete it. Either you like or you don't like. You have to do it. So it is really very hard. Even most of the colleagues, they used to make suicide. It is really very hard time for us, actually. Life in a refugee camp in Kakuma, it is okay, because when we reach in Kakuma, UNHCR has built all the houses for the refugee. They give food for one month. And at the same time, there are the people who are bringing also, they give us water, they give us some charcoals. At the same time, it's hard because sometimes when you are been away from your parents, you miss that love. You miss that love because you don't know either your parents are alive and your parents doesn't know either you are alive. So you are just in dilemma. You are just in dilemma. You just pray, let me be alive one day, one time. If God make it, we are going to unite with the parents, then we'll be okay. In 2005 and 2006, I applied to HART, and this is also the time also I tried to look where my parent is. I wrote so many letters through ICRC messages until I talked to them, and then I confirmed. Actually, they were really thinking that I'm really dead. Then for them to know exactly am I their son or not, they have to call me with the nickname. So they used to call me Akwachich. So mother used to tell me, if you are really my son, you explain yourself. What is your nickname? I have to say, Mom, I'm called Akwachich. The nickname that you used to call me when I was young is Akwachich. And then she came and welcomed me. We sit down. Then I explain all the situation. This is how we united. So I have a family. And now become an extended family whereby people are very happy. Okay, my message to the people of England. First of all, I'm going to say that thank you, brothers and sisters in England, for your good contributions to the people of South Sudan through HART. So actually, the people who benefited, they have changed their life because most of them are the vulnerable. But based on the help that HART has given, they have a hope now that they will change.
You've been listening to a Christian Aid podcast. To find out more about Christian Aid, go to christianaid.org.uk or follow us on Twitter at Christian_aid or find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.